Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 7.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant folks? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore. Sorry I'm not too loud right now, but my roommates are sleeping, so I need to try to keep this quiet, which is really difficult for me because I have some great news. I'm on iTunes officially as of today, so if you are picking up what I'm putting down with this podcast and you want more, you can now subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. And if you really like what I'm putting out there, do me a huge solid and give me a 5-star rating review. That will really help get the word out and get all this amazing advice that my guests are putting out to all of you folks and to help people make their restaurant dreams unstoppable. So I hope you enjoy today's show, and here it is. Today's guest has come a long way since his first job in hospitality, where they wouldn't even let him in the kitchen. With his passion for food, he found himself enrolled at Paul Smith's Culinary School in Brighton, New York. His professional career started taking off with his 5-year stint in San Francisco and Northern California's wine country. 3 of those 5 years were spent as executive chef and wine buyer at the Caprice, where he reinvented the restaurant into one of the Bay Area's premier dining destinations. While working as executive chef at Caprice, he also pursued a certificate as sommelier through the Court of Master Sommeliers. Today, his newest role is as a chef co-proprietor of Cava, a Mediterranean restaurant with tapa and wine bar, located in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Cava is most well known for its diverse international wine selection, outdoor vertical garden, and its chef's table, which allows for a uniquely personal and exciting dining experience. With no further delay, please allow me to introduce Chef Greg Sessler.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show, Eric. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on the show. It's a pleasure to have you. How was the introduction? Did I miss anything? Would you like to add any awards or anything I may have missed?
No, I think you covered it pretty good. I'm a simple cook, cooking what I love to do here at Cava, and it's really a dream come true to be in Portsmouth and to be doing what I love. The restaurant on a whole, an idea that was put forth by myself and my partner back 2008, it really just is everything that we love about food, wine, and the service industry tried to bring forth and put on the table here.
Awesome. I love how you're already talking about passion. Passion tends to be a word that is becoming a theme here at Restaurant Unstoppable. This interview just started, and I can already tell that passion is going to be a big part of today's discussion. So are you ready to drop some invaluable advice on our restaurant listeners today to make their restaurant dreams unstoppable?
I would love to help people make their restaurant dreams unstoppable. I think it's one of those things where, of course, everyone's got their own point of view on how to do things. You know, over the years, partner John and I, we may look young, but you know, we've been doing this for quite a while now. The years seem to go by faster and faster as we get older. We started in the business when we were 17 years old. We've been doing this straight through in our mid-30s now. It's hard to believe it's 17 years being in this business. But
it flies by when you do what you love, right?
It really does.
I'm sure you're going to knock this interview out of the park. So every interview starts with a success or leadership quote or mantra. So share a success or leadership quote or mantra and how you apply it at your restaurant.
I don't just have one quote that I live by or I like to instill in my guys here at the restaurant. It really is, to me, it's all about passion, staying passionate about what you do. You know, with that passion, you have to remain focused. With that focus, it's important to also remember that you got to love what you do and have fun with it. So
exactly.
It's really, I think, to me, it's a matter of you know, seeing the bigger picture of what's going on in the restaurant and the business and remembering what you do. Yeah, it's a job, but you know, if you're here because you love what you do, it can also be a wonderful thing. So we try to instill that in the guys that work with us and try to keep them, again, focused, motivated, keep their passion and their desire to learn and to better themselves as cooks or chefs or servers or bartenders, whatnot, constantly moving in a forward direction.
There's that word again. It's passion, right? It's the passion is definitely the engine of whatever is driving success in this industry. So,
you know, it just kind of happens naturally. I think people that are in this business, you get involved in it, people don't have a full understanding about it. But once you get into it and you understand more and more what it takes to be in this business, people that have the longevity in it and do it year after year, I think, you know, they really have to have a certain amount of passion or else it's just not something that most people would probably continue on doing.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree with you when you say passion is, if not the most important thing, one of the most important things. So great answer. We're going to be on to the next question here, which is your it factor. Smells, taste, views, and sounds. What are the general experiences, vibes, and ambiance that set your restaurant apart from others?
The ambiance at Cava is really what it's all about. So when we were, it was actually out in California when we were looking for different restaurant spaces, and I hadn't been in Portsmouth for, it was probably 7 or 8 years. The property came up, as an available commercial space, and I was immediately kind of intrigued by it. Being in the middle of the commercial alley, immediately drawn to the proximity to Market Square, the proximity to the parking garage, the proximity to just everything that's going on in the city, but also kind of seeing the quaintness of the alleyway. I loved the potential that it kind of held and always felt like Portsmouth, they didn't have a huge dining scene, outdoor dining scene, besides like the waterfront back in 2008. There was limited places that were doing it, and we saw this alleyway, this patio, this courtyard space, and immediately I just thought, like, wow, this has got great potential for a different setting than some of the other restaurants that were going on in Portsmouth. Everything's on, you're either on like a, Daniel Street, or you're on Congress Street, you're on Market Street, which is all well and good. But this was kind of tucked back and away and was in a little more discreet setting. So, I was immediately thought, wow, this is cool. European vibe, whatnot. And the alleyway's really transformed since we've taken over the space in 2008. And it was kind of the... it was just kind of like a way to get from one section of the city to the other. No one really stopped in it. There were a few shops, and that was nice, but it's really come a long way. So that was immediately one of the vibe settings, just the actual location.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with your restaurant or being around your restaurant, but in the little experience I do have, I can say this. In regards to location and concept, you guys knock it out of the park. The way I felt, literally, approaching your restaurant and looking at pictures of your restaurant, it's like a fairy tale. It's like you're stepping out of real life and going into this, like you said, a European alley with this, your wall, the front of your location is literally alive. And it's like you're walking into a fairy tale, and the customer is like smacked off their feet before they even walk in. And that's something you guys do really well. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with your success. But even more than that, when you go inside, when you enter your location, it has a very warm, cozy, charming feeling to it, kind of like your European inn. But I'm sure you would agree that I'll take a quote that I found online about your restaurant. Chef Sessler hopes his guests enjoy the interaction between chef, guest, food, and wine. So to me, what stood out to that is the interaction. You guys are right on top of your guests, and it's that interaction that really, I think, sets you guys apart. And I don't want to answer the question for you, but I have a feeling I'm going to hand it over to you now, and I feel like you're going to take this part of the question and run with it.
Well, it was really when we stepped in 2008, it was a question of what are we going to do with this space, because it was an awkward space. And we turned to, the gentleman, Norm Fortier, who opened up the Beach House restaurant in Hampton and used to own Elijah's restaurant out in Milford. Norm was really an inspiration for John and I, and one of the key restaurateurs that John and I look up to. John's my partner here at Cava. And Norm came in and he said, you know, guys, look at this space. Put your kitchen like this. And we had not really thought about setting the kitchen against this one wall. And what that happened, as soon as we did that, the kitchen faced the guests as they walked through the front door. And when you walk through the front door of the restaurant, you are literally stepping into the kitchen. You are on top of the cooks. You are looking right down into what we're plating and what we're doing. You know, a lot of people think they're walking in the front door, but it's – or the wrong door, excuse me, but it is the front door. And you're situating a chef's table literally right on top of the kitchen. And those factors, that positioning of the kitchen and how we set that up was just so integral to the ambiance and how the guests view and experience the restaurant directly as they walk in, and also directly as they walk out, which is a unique experience unto itself that I've never experienced in a restaurant, is having that, you know, that that hello and goodbye right from the kitchen.
Absolutely.
It's a very unique thing.
Yeah, I wrote down these key words. It's personal, comforting, makes the guest feel like a VIP, and most importantly, it's human. And I feel like the restaurant industry started as being kind of a byproduct of the hospitality industry, you know, small inns in the 18th century, and they kind of just grew into its own segment. And as that restaurant segment grew and people started to focus more and more on food, it's like at some point, the evolution of restaurants, like the appendage of hospitality fell off. And now, finally, you're seeing that hospitality side of it come back in full force, and that personal, like, you know, that the human factor of making it personal and being and interacting with the guests, that is really separating the real successful restaurants. And you guys are doing a great job at that there.
It was one of the things that I wanted to do so much from the beginning, was to create a situation where as a chef, I could talk directly to the guests, and I could interact with the guests, and the guests could interact back with us as the cooks. And that feedback that we get, whether it's verbal or just actually watching the guests interact with the food that we put in front of them, is such important knowledge for me as a chef, whether it's good or bad. Hopefully it's good more than it is bad, but you can see people's likes, you can see people's reactions, their dislikes. You can tailor food directly to them. Oh, you know, you hear them saying, oh, well, you know, I don't really, I don't do this or I don't do that. And when normally you have a situation where you have to go through, you know, a server or a communication between the front of the house and the back of the house, I'm now bridging that whole conversation, and it's going right to the guests and right between me and the guests.
It's definitely
with these four seats anyways. And
exactly.
It makes a big difference with how we serve these people. It's really, it's a pretty special thing.
I couldn't agree more. And I think if I could just sum it up into like one or two words, it's just a human interaction, and it's just a more human experience. And,
absolutely.
We got to move on to the next question, because we still have a whole lot of interview left.
Sure.
So, all right. The next question is challenges. Share with us one current challenge and how are you overcoming it?
Current challenge is, the winter months, here in Portsmouth, for sure. You know, our biggest challenge is to keep people coming through the doors midweek. You know, our weekend business is always pretty consistent, but you know, it's the slower midweek days. How do you get people through the door? How do you promote that? How do you market that? How do you you know, run consistent numbers with your food costs, your labor costs, your liquor costs? How do you keep things moving in the right direction? And that is a challenge that we face, you know, in the wintertime, January, February, March. We've learned to plan better over the course of, you know, the past 5 years. You know,
so you're overcoming this challenge by planning better. What are some of the other things you're doing to overcome the challenge?
Well, this year, for instance, we've started doing our hospitality, a hospitality discount of 25% off your bill for people in the hospitality industry to come in on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday night. So that's been a huge thing for us this year. That was one promotion that we've run that we've really been able to quantify. There's always a challenge, I think, with marketing is like, well, how do you know if it's working? You know, I can put an ad in a magazine, but what am I getting back from that unless I'm getting like a coupon or, you know, how do I quantify that marketing dollar? Well, this, you know, we said, all right, well, we want, you know, we'll give 25% off.
Does having a podcast in the hospitality industry count as being in the – do I get any discounts for that?
We can talk about that for sure.
Awesome.
We can talk about that. Yeah, that sounds good. But, you know, it's one of those things where this year we've seen some results from that, whereas in years past we tried to do a promotion and you know, if you don't stick with it for – you know, X amount of time, you know, is it really worth it to even do this? So that's one way we've tried to overcome some of these slower days and continue. But, yeah.
So you could sum it up by just saying planning for the future and getting creative.
Yeah, and, you know, we tried to do a promotion through January that didn't work for us the way we wanted it to work. You know, and I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to you know, looking at, how did we market it? Did we market it properly? Did we not market it properly? You know, what could we have done different? Or maybe, you know, it just wasn't worth it to do at all. Yeah. So
all awesome advice. And we're going to leap straight into the next question now, which is about leadership. Leadership, how important is leadership?
I mean, it's absolutely, you know, integral to everyone's, you know, confidence in what we're doing here. You know, I think it's, you know, you have to have, have to have strong leadership.
Give an example of how you show exceptional leadership at your restaurant.
Always leading by example. I think professionalism, you know, organization is huge. There's no question about that.
Yep. And it kind of reminds me of the quote that a previous guest had. She said, lead by pouring water. So never think that anything that's, you know, part of the job is beneath you. Go ahead and lead by, you know, like you said, by example.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think of myself as a dishwasher, as a cook. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever it takes to get the job done is the most important way to go about the day. And I think that, you know, as long as you, all the time, you know, you see different, you know, people have different takes on leadership and whatnot. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's you know, treating people with respect and treating people the way you would like to be treated yourself and also, you know, again, just leading by example, I think is one of the strongest ways you can create, you know, a solid foundation for that.
Absolutely. Okay. So the next question we have is, how would you define success in the restaurant industry? What habits does your restaurant have that contribute to the success?
You know, of course this is a business. So, success for us, there's many different ways. You know, I would say first and foremost, we'd like to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is, I guess, one way to gauge success. You know, the awards and things like that are nice. You know, the great reviews are I think a good sign of success. Mm-hmm. So all of those factors come into play. You know, without the good reviews, you don't have people showing up. But if you're not running your numbers properly, you know, you're not making any money. So you could have hundreds of people walking through your door, but if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing behind the scenes and with your books and running proper food costs or liquor costs, then it's just really all for naught.
Absolutely.
So there's so many layers to what success would be. There's no real one answer.
That's why I love this question, because there are so many answers, and it's fun to kind of, and I have you quoted saying, I love the social aspect of eating. Our culture needs to slow down and really dine and socialize. So I had a feeling that if I brought up that quote, it would kind of strike a nerve with you about what you believe. Maybe it has to do with just being able to provide that social setting and being able to provide people with the opportunity to slow down and socialize.
Well, it's a balance, you know, and I think, you know, life is about balances. It's, you know, you can't have, you know, you can't drink liquor in excess and be, you know, be a healthy person. You can't, you know, mm-hmm. smoke in excess and be a healthy person. You can't, you know, try to flip your tables, you know, four times in a night and be a restaurant where people are going to spend, you know, good money and feel comfortable in. You have mm-hmm. to have a balance to what you're doing. So I think we've tried to create a balance here with our guests. We've, you know, tried to give them, you know, ample, you know, time to dine and not make them feel rushed with their meals. You know, and in turn, I think you find that, that people, you know, end up spending more money. They spend enjoy themselves more. They ultimately have a better experience in your restaurant. And I think what we really try to push and promote here is kind of a more European style mm-hmm. dining. We really want people to sit back. We want people to relax. We want people to socialize while they're eating and experience lots of different food over the course of the evening. Not just, you know, I'm going to have an appetizer and I'm going to have an entree. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's going to be my meal.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to summarize. So if I could summarize, I would say your definition of success is not only, you know, you have to manage the books and you have to make sure all of your hard work is becoming profitable or else you won't be able to last. But it's also being able to provide that ability to your customers to slow down, relax, and get that bounce of, you know, that balance in their life of just help me out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the hospitality of
exactly.
it. You know, going back to what we were talking about before, you know, it's making people feel welcome and making people feel comfortable with where they are and how they can come into the, you know, the restaurant and sit down and feel comfortable with the fact that they are basically investing in the restaurant over that 2 hour period that they're eating.
Exactly. And,
you know, people want to feel good about what they're spending their money on these days.
Yep. And
you
if they're comfortable, they'll come back, which is the really important part. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, in a value, a perceived value of what you're getting, you know, it's not about quantity anymore. It's definitely about, you know, there's a quality aspect to it. People want to feel like they're getting, you know, something that is, you know, made with care, made with, you know, again, passion. They want people to, again, service-wise, they want people to feel like they're actually caring about the fact that they're there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for all that. We're going to jump straight into the speed round now, or I like to call it on the fly, a little restaurant jargon for you.
Nice.
So this is going to be a quick round, kind of just, you know, a few sentences, spit out your best answer. You ready?
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. Share with us one hiring tip or tool you use.
I always make a chef cut chives. They can cut chives and they do it with care. It's a good sign of what's to come.
Awesome. I like it. I haven't heard that one yet. That's unique. Once you find these quality employees, what creative incentives do you provide to keep them as a team member?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly treating people with respect. I feel a clean, organized, efficient workspace is very important to people's happiness.
Awesome. And I really couldn't agree more. I believe it's Danny Myers says, leave everything cleaner than when you found it. And that goes a long way in the hospitality industry.
My guys feel the cleanliness, it's extra work. But we're talking about minimal time at the end of the night to keep things as clean as they possibly can. And or during the day or during the shift, very, very important. Things need to be clean.
Which all ties into productivity and efficiency. Yep. So that's all great. Advice.
Absolutely.
The next question here is marketing tactics and tools. What has been working for you? Can you share any practices that have shown results?
The latest thing that we're doing is this hospitality discount for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Besides that, our marketing has been limited. We don't do a lot of a lot of print ads or things like that. Fairly active on Facebook, always important, the social media thing nowadays. Hotel concierges mm-hmm. in Portsmouth, always key. So getting good with the hotels, awesome. Active on Facebook.
Exactly, and it's not just the hotels. Stop by your hairdressers, any your coffee shops, any place people sit and talk. Make yourself known there. And you talk about, he had mentioned again, the hospitality discount. Another great reason to do that, a benefit to doing that, I just thought of, is sometimes people, they go to other restaurants, they're walk-ins, and if there's not space at that restaurant and you're on the good graces of the other restaurants in the industry, they're going to recommend guests their overflow to you. So it's always a great way just to pick up extra guests.
Absolutely.
So those are great marketing tools and tactics. It's really just being a part of the community, if I could say.
Oh, yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Which is,
community involvement is huge. There's
awesome.
No question.
Great. So what is one restaurant or business book you'd recommend to our listeners?
Wow. That's a good question. I think that it all depends. Lots of different industry publications out there. The biggest thing is, I think, understanding, restaurant and industry trends. Restaurant.com or something like that. It's fairly generic, but it's an industry-wide, publication that kind of highlights things that are going on in the business nationally or whatnot. It seems kind of silly, but for people that don't follow their numbers well, I would suggest picking up, as silly as it sounds, running a restaurant for dummies or whatever it is.
It's not stupid at all, man. It's great. I mean, you have to get the basics down before you do anything else.
Absolutely. And to me, understanding how the numbers work in the day-to-day operation of the restaurant, there's nothing more important than understanding how to manage your food costs, your liquor costs, understanding what a prime cost is, understanding, how to manage your labor costs and in your flow, mm-hmm. Those numbers.
A great book for that, which touches on that briefly, is Steve DeFilippo's It's All About the Guest. He has a chapter devoted to the numbers and how he sets up his numbers. So if you haven't read that book, I'd recommend it. It's great.
Awesome. Check it out.
On to the next question here. Could you recommend any gadgets, services, or tools that have improved your restaurant's productivity, efficiency, profitability, or communication?
The one thing I can think of off the top of my head is, our space is so unique. We are constantly searching for ways to make our kitchen more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
We were spending a lot of money on actually having a person expedite our orders to all of our chefs. So we did something very simple in that we bought a very simple a ticket line
mm-hmm.
to hold our ticket orders in. And this was... seems kind of silly, but it was something that took some time for us to realize that this might be a better way to go about this. So, and it's just one example of something that cost, $30 at the restaurant supply store, but ultimately, over the course of this past year, it helped us save around, $25,000
oh, wow.
in labor costs. So, we basically were able to cut a whole person out of the kitchen, just in a simple move like that. So, on a whole, it sounds like, oh man, this is something that maybe we should have thought of from day one, but we didn't, and it was one thing that we were able to say, wow, all right, just by looking at this a different way, I can step back and make my kitchen more efficient, more productive, more profitable by doing this one simple thing.
Awesome.
So there's nothing, there's no like POS system or something like that, although that would be a very important thing to have if you don't have one.
Sometimes it's just
I would recommend having, but
yeah, sometimes
just looking at things a different way would be
absolutely. And it's just
the best way.
changing the flow of operation sometimes can just have amazing impacts on efficiency, and efficiency equates to profitability. So that's a great recommendation. That was an awesome example. Yeah, thank you very much for that. And this is the last question I have for you. What is the best restaurant or business advice you have ever received?
So I mentioned Norm Fortier earlier. I remember one day was fixing an electrical socket. He almost lit something on fire. I can't remember what it was, but he looked at me and he said, you know, Greg, if you're ever going to own your own restaurant one day, you're going to have to learn how to do all this crap. And you got to know how to do everything, whether you're going to do electrical or you're going to do plumbing or whatever. You got to be able to unclog the sink. You got to be able to do this. You got to be able to undo that. So we kind of always took that to heart with him. You know, you really have to be multifaceted when you're having a restaurant. And I think
it's a jack of all trades, right?
You become a handyman. You have to learn how to do certain things, or else you're going to pay out the years.
That's true.
And for all sorts of things. So that was one thing that it always stuck with me.
You could tie this answer back into the previous question about efficiency and profitability and productivity. If you are a handyman and you're able to keep up with your equipment, the maintenance on your equipment, and just, you know, not neglect those things by being a handyman, you're going to save yourself thousands and thousands of dollars just on being proactive. So that's amazing, great business advice for the restaurant.
Oh, we do it with everything here. I mean, we try to assess our situations, you know, ourselves first. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously things that we can't do, but there's other things that we can do. And by trying to do small things, you know, it makes a big difference. And listening to people with experience is probably, you know, the best advice, and always keeping your options, you know, open to people's, you know, advice and suggestions, and, you know, people that have experience are always super knowledgeable, and I'm assuming that's, you know, the big part of this whole show. So
great answer and great interview, Greg. You knocked it out of the park. We're going to wrap it up now, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to call someone out. Who is one restaurant professional you admire and believe would be a great addition to our community at Restaurant Unstoppable?
Wow. You know, there's lots of great restaurants out there right now. There's many that are constantly pushing new ideas and definitely making strides in the community. I would say there's several out there right now that come to mind. You know, the guys over at the Black Birch right now, I would say, are probably really on top of their game. They've got an amazing thing going in the community over in Kittery. It is a really dynamic little area that they have created over there that I think is it's a really top-notch business. They run from top to bottom. The food is amazing. The front of the house is amazing. They've got a vibe that is unmatched in the area, and they just have it. They've got it. There's no
All
question.
Right. You heard it, guys. So, over at the Black Birch, I'm coming for you. Be ready.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Give yourself a plug. Where can we find your restaurant and your services? Do you have any plans for the future, and how can we connect?
We are at 10 Commercial Alley. It's downtown Portsmouth. We are Cava. You can reach us 603-319-1575 for reservations. We take reservations here at the restaurant for our chef's table and for parties of four or more.
There is a hospitality discount. So there you
go. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you can the discount 25% off if you work in the restaurant business. More than happy to have you come in. Open at 5 o'clock every day, and it's always a good time. So
awesome, Greg! It's been a pleasure having you as a guest. I'm sure everybody will be able to grow from your advice, and I look forward to all future connections with you.
Right on, man! Thanks for having me.
There you have it, guys. Episode 7's in the bag. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Greg was awesome. One of the things I really enjoyed about this episode was Greg's business advice to not only be a handyman, but the last part of it was to always be willing to listen to those who have the experience and to be willing to take that advice and apply it to your own careers. And really, that's the essence of what this podcast is all about. Listen to these folks. They know their stuff, and it's just another opportunity for you to grow and make your own business that much better. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm still whispering because I don't want to wake my roommates up. I hope you can hear me over the music right now. So until next time, peace.